Grace, peace, and mercy from God our Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. How is everybody doing? And I know you can't answer me because we only have the people here that are running the service. So I know at home you can't answer. But you know, I look outside and it's raining. The wind is blowing. Doesn't look very nice. And you know, it kind of reminds me, kind of life might not be going that well. What I want to tell you about, now that I lifted your spirits, not really. There's a church in Sweden, okay? And there's a painting in this church in Sweden. It sits where our cross and our stained glass would be. The church is one of these magnificent churches built. I don't even know. I didn't look up when it was built, but it had to be 1700s or 1800s, I would guess. Had the gold pillars on each side of the altar, rising all the way to the ceiling. There's a white background to this painting. And the painting is of our Lord and Savior. The title of the painting is Consolator Christus Consolator. Now, can anybody tell me what that means? And can you find it in the dictionary? More than likely, if you have an old dictionary, the word is in there. Because today, we don't use this word. Raul, have you ever heard of that word? Christus Consolator? Till now. It's not in the New Webster Dictionary. It's no longer used as a word. But it means consoler. Consolation. Now, if you get a consolation prize, what is it? Is it the blue ribbon? Is it the red ribbon? Is it the white ribbon? No. It's the purple one. It's almost like the purple one that says, thank you very much for showing up, but you lost. It's what it is. Consolation prize. You showed up last. Have you ever received a consolation prize? Have you ever been last? Is it really much consolation in receiving that purple ribbon, the last place? Now, I don't know if you remember, but I believe it was back in the 70s. There was a Lifesaver commercial. And the Lifesaver commercial, back then they had rolls. We have bags of Lifesavers now. But there's a young man walking with his father after a hockey game, and he lost the game. So he's very, very sad. So his father turns to him and says to him, hey, when I was young and I lost the game, it would take a whole roll of Lifesavers to make me feel better. And the son turns to the father and says, do you have a whole roll of Lifesavers? And his dad turns to him and says, hey, son, it will be all right. There'll be more games. It'll be okay. Almost like a consolation prize. Lifesavers are kind of part of our life. a roll of wintergreen Lifesavers candies may be useful for various occasions. But think about the people in this painting. You've got Christ as the great consolator, the great consoler, and you have people in chains, one person in chains, because their sins holding them captive. You have a widow in the painting hanging on to Jesus' garment. She just lost her husband. Is this going to do any good? Probably not. Probably not. It's not going to console those that are held captive by their sins. It's not going to console the widow. It's not going to console the suffering from disease, famine, and you name it. The candy's not, it's not going to cut it. It's not going to do it. But Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I think those words, I don't know about you, but strike our hearts at this time. Because I know there are many that are weary and heavy laden during this time. But come to Jesus, and he will give you rest. He will give you peace. We find refuge in him. The great consolator. And then we think of this image of that painting of all the many people surrounding Jesus in the painting that are suffering, that come on to him. And he, with stretched out arms, is consoling them, healing us. And that is what's happening with us. He did not say we would not suffer. But he said, come, and I will give you rest. Jesus strides into the sick room. Peter's mother-in-law is suffering with a great fever. You know, according to St. Luke, a high fever. In those days, before antibiotics, such fevers could take their life very easily. You know, and you also know this woman is left nameless. There's no name given to her other than mother-in-law. You know whose mother-in-law it is, but it's not an accident where she's left nameless. Early church fathers, those who were taught by his disciples, say that Mark was closely associated with Peter. So for sure, St. Mark knows Peter's mother-in-law, her name. But it's left out. A faceless individual who's in need of consolation. Just like us, in need of consolation. He is the one who takes the initiative with us to serve. To serve us, to extend his life to us, to take on all our sins for us. He does not grow faint in his pursuit of us, nor does he turn away when the road to serve us becomes dangerous. He comes to us in our back rooms, in the rooms where we suffer with our own fevers that could kill us, our sins. And then an exchange takes place. Her sickness and his health. He takes what is ours and gives to us what is his. Sickness, demon-possessed, disease, sin, death. He came to take it all. No magic wand. No magical incantations. No presto changeo, mumbo jumbo. He took her by the hand and lifted her up. Paul tells us that Christ became poor with our poverty. He became sin with all of our transgressions. He became dead with the death of the whole human race. He takes what robs us of our humanity and he restores us with his virtue, his blessing, his victory, his truth, his love. This is consolation. You know, and I know this life is not always pretty, not always comfortable, not always fun. People look for consolation. People hunt high and low for every conceivable way to cope with trouble in life. And sometimes they look at things of the world. Adulterous relationships, a bottle, gambling, clothing, makeovers, food, shopping sprees, travel, philosophy, endless entertainment. Sometimes we look into ourselves for that where we should be looking for Christ. Because the things of the world are just going to end with death. They're going to end with disappointment. But with Jesus, it will not end with disappointment. It'll end with the forgiveness of sins. It will end with being healed. The things of this world might deaden the pain temporarily, but it does not console. Our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, brings us something more. Jesus took the woman by the hand and lifted her up. The exact same phrase is used in one other time in the gospel. His dead daughter, Jairus' daughter, dead. She too had no name. She lay in the back of the house, 12 years old, lifeless. The situation was not one that the Wintergreen Lifesavers are going to do much. Not much to console Jairus and his wife. Christus Consolator moved directly to the child's side. Took her by the hand. Same words, raised her up. Child, arise. Resurrection is consolation. The Lord's empty tomb is divine consolation for sinners who know that death is real. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. John 10:10. Jesus the Consoler said that. He served Simon's mother-in-law and his life, she received it. And then she got up. And what did she do? She served others. What a better way to understand your life. What better way to understand what takes place in the divine service and then what takes place out there in the world. The preached word that you hear at this altar where he gives us his body and blood. He consoles you with his resurrection and sends you out to serve your fellow man. The great fever of your sin that could kill you is not on you. It has been removed. And it's not only been removed, you know, with us, if someone sins against us, we tend to remember. God forgets as far as the east is from the west. And that is completely, does not remember. They are gone. Your sins are white as snow. That is our faith. Believe it. You have been forgiven. Your shame has been removed. Your guilt atoned for by Christ on the cross. You have been made new in Christ's blood. All of this is the consolation of the highest order. On the Holy Cross, as he bore the fractious weight of man's horrible deeds, there was none to console Jesus. Sacred head, horribly wounded with grief and shame, weighed down in that act of sacrifice, your eternal consolation was in view. To bless you and sustain you, Jesus died. The Son of God Almighty died. To console you in whatever grief this world brings, the Lord of heaven and earth died for you. Receiving his consolation, we mount up courage because of that. It instills in us. Our response is serving others because of what he has done for us. And in this, we walk towards heaven. We walk with the assurance that our sins are forgiven. And no matter what this world can bring on, it cannot take away our salvation. It cannot take away us being in the presence of our Savior. It cannot separate us from God, no matter what comes on the world, because of our faith in Christ. We will not be faint. We will not be weary. We will walk towards heaven. Because Christus Consolator is with us, and he will be now and forever. Amen.